The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house, who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers and threw away the bad." We hear about the fish caught in the net. And right on cue, Jesus' parable turns us back into ourselves to figure out if we are good fish or bad fish. Are we a bass or a bowfin? A perch or a pickerel? And the stakes, well, they couldn't be higher, because nobody wants that fiery furnace where the tears of regret never dry and teeth are set on edge from angst and suffering. And the problem with this parable is it gives us no way forward to determine our game fish status or lack thereof. Nor are we given a prescription for relocation from the trash fish bucket should we find ourselves there. And let's face it. Our status as bottom dweller is certain, for who among us can claim perfection 24/7, 365, from conception to death? Even worse, who among us is not progeny of Adam and therefore guilty of his original sin? It doesn't take a genius to figure out that we've got a serious problem here. And so, with hands steeled, mouths closed and ears open, we can now hear the rest of Jesus' parables about what the kingdom of heaven is like. But first, we need to hear what the kingdom of heaven is exactly. It is not a location primarily, but rather where and when God the Holy Spirit makes trust in those whom he chooses through the means of word and sacrament. Said another way, the kingdom of heaven comes when God's word of steadfast love and mercy is proclaimed and faith is made by God and those who hear it. And it is only God's word of steadfast love and mercy that can make a game fish out of a trash fish. That means God's word of steadfast love and mercy is the most important word in all creation. There is none other, only God's word. And just so, it's like a pearl, so valuable that you would sell everything you owned to go and buy it. God's word of steadfast love and mercy is so important that if it were buried in a field and you tripped over it, you'd sell everything you owned to buy the field in order to save that word. Oh, I know, God's word often doesn't seem like much, with sin and death and the devil stalking us at every turn, with all the problems out there in our world, God's word of steadfast love and mercy seems a bit, well, irrelevant, small, even hidden. His word of steadfast love and mercy is like a tiny mustard seed that doesn't appear capable of growing into anything. With this craziness both within us and outside of us, an obvious and amazing display of God's almighty power would be great, don't you think? Instead, God's word is like yeast kneaded into dough. Any change, well, hidden from view. Indeed, the perceived importance of God's word of steadfast love and mercy pales in comparison to the urgency and concern of our experience of life. Oh, but don't you be deceived. God is almighty, meaning nothing can stop him from doing exactly what he wills to do. For God to speak is for God to do. Furthermore, God does not lie. Taken together, then, God can and he will keep his word. So, in the face of sin, death, and the devil, far from just a tiny seed, God's word is like a mighty tree that provides refuge. In the face of the strife and turmoil of life in our world, far from a hidden chemical reaction, God's word is like a bake shop turning out giant cinnamon buns that can sustain a body forever. How do you like that? Truly, God's word of steadfast love and mercy is a mighty, active thing, accomplishing all that God intends for it without fail. Well, I have good news for you this morning, you lucky stiff. Without you earning, accepting, deserving, or anything else, you've stumbled on the most important treasure ever, God's word. There, at the font, you first heard God's promise of mercy and eternal life for you. And at this altar rail, you've stumbled upon the treasure that is God's unwillingness to shut up about his mercy and forgiveness, insisting instead that you eat and drink it so that there will be no doubt that he is for you and not against you. And because it is the Lord's desire to lavish you yet again with his steadfast love and mercy, by the authority of Christ, I forgive you the entirety of all your sin. There, that's your promise of God's steadfast love and mercy. Something new in the midst of the old. That means you're a game fish for Christ's sake. Be at peace. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Amen.